So this morning session is about quiet time. What and why and how? I'm going to give a very brief overview of what is quiet time and why we do that, and Youngji will take on how to do that. What is quiet time? The first of all, it's about solitude. It is time to set aside in a certain place where a person can get away and be alone and draw near to the Lord. So solitude. And second thing is about fellowship with God. So quiet time involves a period of concentrated and uninterrupted fellowship with God in a place often designated beforehand. It's about meeting the Lord. And third is about undivided attention to the Lord. As important as prayer throughout the day is, and it is important, it comes with distraction, and our heart is somewhat divided. And it is the nature of the case. Again, discipline of having a daily quiet time is designed to give a person undivided time with God. And firstly, it's a prayer and word. A quiet time is time where you give all of yourself to the Lord in prayer and with the word of God. And what is not quiet time? It is not to gain favor from God. We have God's favor already in Christ's redemptive work already. So God loves you. God favors you already. You know, so then we are not working for grace, but working from grace. Because grace is given already. We want to working for, not working for grace, but working from grace so that we'll be saturated with more grace. And we are not hoping that God will accept us by doing quiet time or devotion. We know that He already accepted us in Jesus Christ. What God wants with us is now the deeper friendship and intimacy. So that's why it's called grace upon grace. We got grace already. So from God's grace, we want to experience that grace even more because we are called to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And now, why have a consistent quiet time? There are many reasons for having a consistent quiet time, as there are benefits that flow from these things of undistracted prayer and scriptural meditation. I think there are three things. Why? It's about knowing Jesus Christ. It's about intimacy with a friend. And second is becoming like Christ, finding strength for holiness as we meditate upon the Word of God and Jesus and pray to the Father. We are getting transformed, and we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So we are becoming like Christ through the time of devotion. And third, I think, very important thing, living for Christ. Why we do a consistent quiet time? We do that so that we would live for Christ. It's a vision for the world. You know, as we do quiet time, it impacts our view of the world and the mission God has called us to do. As we see the Bible, what God wants, actually God established Israel to be the light of the world, to be the example people of the world, to proclaim His grace and His freedom. And that's the reason why God also called the church to be. And through quiet time, we reinforce this idea of God's mission, God's heart. So it is through regular fellowship with the Lord we begin to get on our hearts what is on in the Father's heart. So it is here that we begin to develop a passion for reaching the lost and world mission. Have you noticed that when you do have a morning quiet time, it settles your attitude? You know, I'm going out, and that the place that we go out is the mission field. And through quiet time, we get this encouragement from the Lord and the power from Him so that we would live for Jesus Christ through quiet time. So that said, I invite our morning co-worker, Youngju, to give us how to do it. I'm sure that you have done devotion your way, but I want to introduce Youngju to give us effective ways to do that.
Let us pray. Father God, we lift up this retreat to you. Every session, every hour, may you be here and work in us and through us during the sessions as we eat and fellowship, as we rest, whatever we're doing, Father, may this truly be a retreat. Retreat with you where we learn from you personally and we learn together as a church. Father, we ask that during this time, the hungry will be filled, the sick will be healed, the thirsty will be quenched, and those who are dry and empty will be filled, filled to overflowing. And also with the children in the other room, may there be lots of joy and laughter. And in the midst of the joy and laughter, may there be a seed planted in each child's heart that is lifelong. Let's just take a couple minutes to pray. I know every one of you came here with probably a different expectation. So just a chance to let God know about your expectations as you came here today or yesterday. And just let's just lift up the retreat for good weather throughout, for safety throughout, for God's presence throughout, whatever God's putting in your heart now. And we'll do it all together as loud as you want or as soft as you want, all together, 통성 기도로. Okay, let's just take a couple minutes to do that. Father God, Allah, 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 Allah. Father, can you be the teacher? Can you be the guide? Father, can you be the leader? Can you be the friend as we walk along the trails? Allah, Allah. Can you be our partner and our companion? Allah, around the dining room table. Father, may we see warrior angels all around this place, Allah, to protect and guide. Allah, Allah, Ya Saragahagaliya, Allah, Allah, Ya Saragahagaliya, Ragaba. And may faith increase in this place, Allah, the measure of faith increase in this place, that we may truly see you face to face and see miracles, but more than that, above all, Lord God, may you be glorified, may you be delighted, may you laugh as your children gather together and we spend time with you and with each other. We pray for good weather, we pray for every child that's being baptized. Father, take away all distractions. Where there are distractions, give us focus. Father, where there's hardness, give us softness and teachability. Father, where there's pride, give us humility. Father, where there's brokenhearted, Father, lift us up. Truly a time where we can look back and say, that was the time where God made a change in me, where God met me. And as every child goes into the water, Father, and they come out, Abaya Diara, that may that be a testimony to themselves, their family, their church, those all around us, and may that as they become new creation and publicly profess their confessions, Father God, may that confession of faith never cease. All through their life, Lord. Leaders for your kingdom, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I have handouts. As Pastor Young said, we're going to be going through different spiritual disciplines over the week, like quiet time, like scripture reading. But one thing, just as he said yesterday, we don't want to view this as a to-do list, like you have to do this and this and this and this. But it's more because as we were praying about the topic for this retreat, we wanted to give you tools, because all of us want to get closer to God, but there are times where we're like, how do I get close to God? And years pass, and we think we're close to God, maybe, because we've been going to church for 5 years, but in reality, maybe we just haven't even stepped forward. Just like sometimes, I have lots of books in my house, and I mistake sometimes that just by having the books in my bookshelf, that it's in my head, that I've already read it. And I think that's the way sometimes we feel like with intimacy with God, because we've been to church, you know, every week. But just like I can't get to know you guys just by doing this every week, we have to have meals together. We have to have our girl times together in order to know each other. Quiet time is that. And so all throughout the day, as we're giving you, telling you how to do, if it's burdensome, then just take a step back and say, you don't have to do any of it. It's to give you tools, because I know there are times where I want to get close to God, but I don't know how. And you sit and you want to pray, but nothing comes out. And so this is to give you tools. And for some of you, this may be repetitive. It's not new. But I think we can always use a good foundation and remember. And just like I said, just because we know about quiet time and you heard about it over and over and over again doesn't mean we've been doing it either. And so this is a good reminder of that. Pastor Young was telling us about how all of these disciplines build, help God's presence to manifest in our lives. I kind of think of it sometimes like this as well, like a vessel, like a kurut, so that God, because during the day today, maybe you won't feel like there's fire burning or rain, and thunder. And I love thunder and lightning. But if it's always thundering and lightning and hailing, then we'd be destroyed, right? But God does give us those times where there's fire and there's rain and there's strong winds and we're filled. But as God pours out, I think there's things that we can do to prepare our vessel. And that's the way that I try to train my kids as well, that everything that they do in school, in church, the Bible memories, the awana, the Bible memories, everything that we do, we're building our vessel of carrying the anointing and the pouring out when God gives it. So God may pour this much, but if our vessel is this small, then that's how much it's going to impact us and the world around us. Right? Or if God's pouring out and our vessel we think is this big, but it's dirty and muddy, then all of the clean anointing and freshness, it's just going to be all tainted, right? So with the word, we cleanse and we make our vessel pure. With every step of these disciplines of quiet times of memory and things like, and prayer, I think we make our vessels larger and larger and larger. And so that when the time comes that God pours out, then we can actually contain it, have it to the fill, and then bless the world, bless the nations, like our motto of our church. So as we do, you know, you need to do this and this and this. Don't hear it like that. They're tools to help us, okay? So quiet time. How to do quiet time. Starting from Johnny, can we just read a paragraph? Can you read the first paragraph for us, Johnny? Proper period.
The proper period, you must find the right time. It's advisable to spend at least half an hour in your quiet time. But some time is better than no time. So if you can't find that 30 minutes within the 10, it should be your very best time. Don't give the Lord your leftover. And don't try to find time. Make time. And make it priority. The key here is quality rather than quantity. You want to be able to spend unhurried time with God, time where you are able to be focused on Him, free from distractions.
Okay. So this is pretty clear, right? And the time, Pastor Young likes to do his quiet time in the mornings. I can't do it in the mornings because I'm just not a morning person. I like to do it when everybody's asleep and there's no distractions at all. So you need to think about a time that's good for you. So when my kids were in college, they would say, Mom, I can't do quiet time in the morning because I'm just, you know, sometimes I don't even shower to get to class. I'm running to class. So I said, you know what? After all your class is done and you sit in the library and start to study, before you start to study, that's a good time. So for every person, I think there's a good time where there's no distractions, limited distractions. So it doesn't matter if it's morning or night. I think lots of people prefer to do it in the morning because it's the first thing that they want to think about. But I think also depending on your schedules and your time clock, you can adjust, right? Okay. Proper preparation. Steve, did you get a handout? Okay. Can you read that for us?
A quiet time is fellowship with a holy God. There are a few things you can do to be prepared for this time. First, be physically alert. Find a time when the cobwebs are out of your mind and you can think clearly. Second, be mentally alert. Be focused and know He's there. While sometimes you may not connect with God on an emotional level, realize that feelings come and go, but God's word is always true.
Okay, so it's just very clear what it's saying, right? So sometimes you might, Pastor Young, he mentioned once that one time when he was quiet time, that's when the Holy Spirit hit him. He broke out in tongue, and he was just blessed. It can be as dramatic as that. It can be like, oh, I don't feel anything today. But doesn't matter, because it's not about our feeling. Because how did you feel when you got up this morning? How did you feel 10 minutes after that? How did you feel right before breakfast? How do you feel now? Our feelings change like this. So if we depend on our emotions, then to determine whether God was present, we got to depend on His word, which says, as we draw near to Him, He draws near to us, right? So that's that. Proper place. Linda?
Location is crucial. Find a place where you can go.
Also self-explanatory, right? You don't want to do it right in the middle of the living room or the dining room when the kids are going to distract you. When we were in the other house, Lindsay had her room, but then she would go in her closet because she didn't want any. And then there were times where we couldn't find her at all because she couldn't hear us. But you want a place like that. And I know like Jiyoung has that nice room upstairs. So to have a private place where when you go there, it's just you don't have to worry about where's the Bible, where do I sit, what do I need. You know, a place where you can just go and automatically it just becomes very natural because you've been there again and again and again doing the same thing over and over again. So it's not a hassle. It doesn't take you 10 minutes to get adjusted, right? Okay. Proper provision. Jeff?
In order to have an effective quiet time, you need the right tools. Here are some suggestions. Number one, read a book by yourself. Number two, listen to one with a temperate room.
Yeah, important to have a journal. You want to write everything. Okay, proper procedure. Miley? I like to sing. I like to just get my soul, my mind, just settled and on the Lord. And that's why we sing when we pray too, right? During prayer, our Friday prayers, just, you know, to praise God, but also it changes our minds, our hearts, and our focus. Okay? Samuel Kwong, get into the Word. Welcome. So during quiet time, it's the focus and the goal of quiet time is to connect with God for the day, right? And so it's not a Bible reading thing. I find it hard to read 5 chapters and then try to do quiet time on that. I find it easier to do shorter passages and because you want to focus. Right? So this is not a time. Although we have Bible reading plans, this is not the time for that. For quiet time, it's what's more effective is to do shorter passages and to think on it and meditate on them. Okay. Next.
Which is that a new gospel is like to obey, knowing
Okay, that's all self-explanatory. Sophia, you want to do the methods? Okay, these are a couple methods that I think are pretty simple. So simple is good. So the first one is called the ABC method. And so as you're reading your passage for the day, you pray to God. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you. What, Holy Spirit, help me to understand the message today. What is your message for me today? And with that kind of prayer and thought, you read the passage. And then afterwards, A is for analysis, which is like a brief summary of what the passage says. B, there as you're reading the passage, there's going to be a verse or two or a word that kind of pops out at you, or one you think is what God is saying to you. So you write down the best verse. C is challenge, and here is where you make it personal. Write about the reason you think that particular verse was meaningful to you. What does this verse teach you about God? Does it comfort you? Does it confront you? As you're impacted by the truth of the verse, consider how you might apply it in your life. Perhaps you can make it a specific challenge for yourself in the coming days. While a specific application will not come every day, constant vague applications may leave all that you're learning in your head and not it actually play out in your life. Strive to be challenged, make it personal, and to have your life reflect what you're learning. So this part is about application. This part is about you writing down, okay, what is it, God, that you're teaching me through this today? And to not every day you'll have a specific application, but whenever you can. For example, let's say I'm reading something and I feel like God's telling me and is teaching me, you got to restore some relationships in your life. So I can write down, restore relationships in my life, and then go on. But that's not going to do me any good. So I got to think a little bit further and make it specific. I need to call this person today, or I will call this person or have lunch with him by the end of the week, or her by the end of the week, or something very specific that you could imply. Otherwise, this is all going to be just all in our heads and nothing that changes us and comes into our action, right? And so, as we're doing this, it seems like, oh, it's all in our head, it's action, where's the Spirit? But As you're thinking about all this, the whole time you're asking God, you're talking to him. Okay, what do you want to say to me today, God? What do you want me to do today about this, God? How, Lord, can you change me through this word today, Lord? So, and also even as you're reading the passage, Lord, Holy Spirit, enlighten my mind, enlighten my understanding so that I could catch what you're telling me today through these passages. And one thing also is these methods are kind of, it seems like it's more mind oriented, and there are other methods where it's more like you use a lot more imagination, but it's okay because you can do the same thing here using if you focus on God and if you continue to talk to him, you'll have the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Even though it just seems like, oh, I got to think of analysis. I got to think of the best verse. But it's not all about you. If you're talking to God and asking him what it is that he wants to teach you that day. And the other thing to remember also is God's word is logos, and then there's rhema. So logos, most of the time, is what Pastor Young preaches. That's what we learn in the Bible studies. It's about what the word says, right? If I'm understanding. But rhema is something that's more personal. So during the quiet time, it's very personal. So maybe something isn't quite in context. The meaning that you're getting and the message that you're getting from God may not be exactly the way that verse is meant to be interpreted, right? But that's okay, because God's using that verse to give you a message for that day, okay? Okay, and then the next one, SPEC. It's not an acronym, because I corrected this, but then I copied the wrong paper, so, but it's okay. Ask these questions. So either you can just use the ABC method or the SPEC method. And the SPEC method you're asking these questions as you're reading the passages. Is there a command to obey, a promise to claim, a sin to avoid, a lesson to learn, or a new truth to carry me? And then you're writing that down. Okay. So since we're not gonna be able to do quiet time just by talking about it, I know some of you may have done it already this morning, but we're gonna give you some time to practice. Okay. So if you look on the next page, is the next page the calendar or the song? The calendar. Okay. So I went ahead and made a chart for the rest of October with some verses that are not that long that you can use for the month of October. Because lots of times, okay, I sit down to do quiet time and I don't know where to read, right? And so if this is good for you, let me know and I'll keep making them, okay? But another thing is, sometimes when I don't know where to go, Proverbs has 31 chapters. So if today is the 6th, I read Proverbs 6, and I go to Psalm 6. And if I have more time, I add 30 to the Psalm, so I go to Psalm 6, 36, 66, 96. Or I may just start with Proverbs 6. And that's so that I'm not sitting there going, okay, what do I read for 5 minutes. That's another method. Another good passage to go through is, if you open up, what's the longest chapter in the Bible? Do you know? Chapter in the Bible. Yeah, Psalm 119, right? It has 28 paragraphs, I think. And so that's almost a month. So you can do a paragraph a day, go to the next paragraph the next day, and so on, and just be in the psalm for a whole month, Psalm 119 for a whole month. So that's another thing. But for now, I think this will be helpful. So today, we're going to just have everybody, give everybody a chance to do their quiet time. And the next sheet has the verse, has Psalm 23 and ABC. So that's where you write down your analysis, best verse and challenge. And sometimes, actually, I use this a lot, ABC a lot. But when I don't want to write down all the summary, instead of analysis for A, I use it as a title. So instead of A is for analysis, but I think as if A is for a title. So instead of writing down the whole summary, I just think of a title for the passage. Yeah. And it just makes it simpler if you want to do that. So how much time do we have? Okay, so why don't we spend maybe 20 minutes or so, 15, 20 minutes alone in the Word by ourselves. Write down. I'm going to check everybody, so everybody has to write. I'm going to give stickers. I'll borrow some stickers. No, I'm kidding. But you know, this is the time, because when we go home, we'll we'll put it aside and never do it again, maybe. And that's not the purpose. We want you to we want everybody to have the experience of doing it and being blessed by it here, so that when we go home, we say, oh, this is pretty doable. We can do this. So take 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then I want you to get together. So don't go too far away, because you can go everywhere. You don't have to stay here. But don't go too far away from your spouse. After you're done, I want you to get together with your spouse and share. Because remember, one of the things here was to share after quiet time, because the word then blesses not only me, but the other person. The other reason we're going to have the spouses share is because, do you know, like sometimes, for example, Samuel has a lot of soccer friends, and then he went on a retreat and then met some other friends, and he's really closest with his soccer friends, but he said, oh, I like these new friends because I can talk about God with them. Because even though all of his soccer friends are Christian and church-going, because every time they met, they were talking about soccer, and that's what they were doing, it's awkward for them to start talking about God. And I think sometimes for spouses, husband and wife, it can be like that. We're always talking about, okay, did you pick up this person? And did you pick up this kid? Did you wash or bathe that child? Or, you know, we're always talking about that it's hard to look at each other and start talking about God, right? Or to share what God's doing in our life. So after you're done, get together with your husband and wife. And how do I check this? I'm going to stand at the door at the lunchroom. and you guys have to walk in together with hands like this. And Steve, I let you have Pastor Young. Oh, Samuel, okay. Oh, okay. You and I. So share with either your spouse if they're here, or find a partner and share. But before you do the sharing, is Daniel not around at all? Okay, I could watch Lincoln for a while. So after, you could explain this to him. But after you do your quiet time and before you share, though, after you share, I want also for us to practice praying with each other. So this is the way we're going to pray today. You hold hands. And then you look into each other's eyes. For at least, when was the last time you actually looked into your husband's eyes or your wife? It's kind of like whenever I look into Pastor Young's eyes, I'm like, because it can get kind of heavy. But you want to look into each other's eyes at least for 1 minute. So look into each other's eyes, hold hands, look into each other's eyes for 1 minute, okay? And as you're looking into their eyes, ask God, what are your thoughts about her? What are your thoughts about him? And pray that prayer. But if you can't think of anything, say 3 things that you're thankful to God about her or him. It can be as simple as, oh, thank you, Lord, for my wife because she makes good tenzangu. You know, it can be as simple as, thank you, Lord, it's a bean paste soup. Thank you, Lord, for my husband because he takes out the trash without me reminding him every night. Or it can be as simple as that, or it can be as grand. So 3 things that you're thankful to God about your spouse. And do it. It's embarrassing sometimes because we don't thank our spouses, but we want to say it so that the other person hears, because I think that'll be a blessing, right? And then 3 things that you want to bless the other person for. Bless him with wisdom. Bless him with strength. Bless him with your companionship, whatever it is. So look into it. But then if you think of tons of things that you want to pray for, you don't have to use 3 things. As you're looking into your husband's eyes or your wife's eyes, if you have, you know, you have a lot to pray, you don't have to use my guideline. But But let's just try that today, practice that today, because I don't think we'll do it unless we practice, right? or if unless I force you. Okay. So that's that for today. And then after that, it's lunchtime. So until lunchtime, there's lots of, after you share and pray with each other, there's lots of places you can hold hands and walk around and talk to each other. And there's, so have a date, because the children are going to be with the Sunday school, right? Okay. Pastor Young, you want to pray for us? Amen.